Liz Corey.
And I'm Katie King.
And this is
True Crime New England.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, welcome back to another episode.
We are so excited to have you.
Yes.
Katie, you look great.
Oh, thank you.
I just want you guys to know, I know this is a visual podcast, but Katie has just returned from a nice, long, and well-deserved vacation.
Thank you.
How was it? Where'd you go? Tell us about it.
So I went to Colorado first for just very briefly, just for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And then from Colorado, I flew out to Utah.
Okay.
Because one of my best friends, Natalie, moved out to Utah, and I haven't been able to go visit her.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So nowhere, like, no palm trees and no beaches.
No, it was, the weather wasn't bad. It was, honestly, it was kind of like here, where it was pretty nice during the day, like 60s, 70s even. But then at night, it got down to like 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
But that's to be expected.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And it may be so bold to say that you do look slightly tan. just
me.
As if I could. Not tan. Don't get me wrong. Not tan, but like...
Some more freckles.
Yeah.
Yeah, some more freckles. In Colorado, I could have just gone straight to Utah, but there's a couple things in Colorado I wanted to cross off my bucket list. I went to the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
There's a national park in Colorado called the Great Sand Dunes.
Okay.
Which is miles and miles and miles of sand dunes.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And you could rent a sandboard and ride down them.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was good. And then Utah, I did like a scenic drive. Great Salt Lake, you know, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah, sure.
They have salt flats.
Oh.
Which is also on my bucket list. So cool. I got to go there and see that. So that was really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Man, our case today occurs in a town called New Sweden.
Yeah. Okay. But you know what? It's way up north.
Yeah, it's in northern Maine, right near where my roommate Mackenzie is from, Aroostook County. She grew up there, lives there now when she's not in school, and I've actually been up there a couple times, and man, the lack of people and the amount of moose is substantial.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so I'm excited to be able to talk about something way up there today. It's pretty interesting,
mm-hmm.
and once again, involving religion.
So true. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. We're really.
Jeez. We need help. We need to like.
Does the church want to sponsor us or something at this rate? Like.
Honestly.
Actually, they probably wouldn't come near us with a 10-foot pole.
No, they definitely wouldn't.
Between the amount of swearing and.
Yeah, and the LGBTQ acceptance yeah. and the racist, you know, the hate of the police and the
oh, I know.
Everything is just yeah. Oh, well, I'm so sad about that. But yeah, so today's case is so interesting and definitely not one I've ever heard of. And you know I love when we do these cases.
This was so fascinating to me.
It was a good ad.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. So without further ado, today we will be covering the case of the New Sweden poisonings. Okay, so let's start with our sources. Per usual, Katie, what do you got?
Per usual, I have Wikipedia.
Hmm.
I also had an article from Murderpedia, as well as Maine.gov and WGME.com.
Oh, cool. I had Murderpedia, admittedly. I love Murderpedia.
I think it's so fun.
It's really cool. It's a good resource to have. I also used Maine.gov. I used MaineCrimeWriters.com and an LA Times article.
Yes. Cool.
I believe the Maine Crime Writers blog I got a lot of information from. They did a very thorough job, which this, you know, we find a lot with these smaller cases is hard to have like really thorough information. Mm-hmm. So that they were very helpful for me. So let's talk about the poisoning. On Sunday morning of April 27th, 2003, the town of New Sweden, Maine, was gathering at a local church for a Sunday morning service. Amen. Now, New Sweden, the thing about Maine, for some reason, like central and then up, Maine has a lot of towns that are named after countries. So, New Sweden, Mexico, China, Poland, there's Paris, Maine. They're all towns in Maine.
That's right.
Yep. So New Sweden is just one of those many, you know, stolen names from other countries. So New Sweden had about 650 residents, which is so tiny, mm-hmm. but pretty typical of this area of Maine. And it's probably a fair guess that there probably wasn't a ton of businesses or a ton of churches, so they probably all flocked to one or two or, you know, a few. And that so happened to be one the church that this incident took place at,
mm-hmm.
which, it's a mouthful of a name, the Gustav Adolf Evangelical Lutheran Church in New Sweden, Maine. So a lot of people attended this because it was just, you know, one of the church in town.
Mm-hmm.
On this particular morning in 2003, after the service, all the churchgoers all attended the coffee hour that happened after the service. Now, I went to church very briefly as a child. I don't remember anything but one, being bored during the mass.
That's fair.
Being excited when we finally could, like, the kids could go down to the basement where we had the, like, kids class, like Sunday school, and then immediately being bored. And then promptly after that, the coffee hour, in which sometimes, obviously I didn't drink coffee, but they had, like, Goldfish and, like, Chips Ahoy.
Yeah.
I loved that. So, and of course, all the parents would walk around and drink coffee and all this stuff. So I remember that quite, I wouldn't say fondly is the word, but, you know. So that's what these people were doing. It was after mass, morning mass, and they were gathered in their church dining hall? I don't know. Where do you attend a coffee hour?
I think it was just in the church itself. Like, they had a table set up or something.
Okay, all right. Well, they were all there drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm. So the coffee that they were drinking was actually Swedish coffee.
Oh.
Because New Sweden is named after Sweden because it was founded by Swedish immigrants.
Sure.
So a lot of that lineage and a lot of their heritage and cultural kind of things mm-hmm. stuck with it because, again, it's such a small town.
Sure.
So they're drinking their Swedish coffee, which is known for being very, very strong.
Mm.
Like, crazy strong.
Yeah.
So people are drinking the coffee, and they're eating baked goods that was left over from a bake sale fundraiser from the previous day.
Nice.
You know, people are drinking coffee, and everybody is saying the same thing. This coffee tastes really off. It tastes really bitter.
Yeah.
And then minutes later, people are throwing up violently.
Oh, God.
One member of the church, Dale Anderson, he said that he was puking his guts out within minutes. And his wife rushed him home thinking it was food poisoning, maybe from the baked goods left over from the day before.
Yep, that's fair.
He noticed that his symptoms were not getting any better. He's, like, violently puking.
Mm-hmm.
Several other members of the church were admitted to the Cary Medical Center in Caribou, Maine, for medical attention because they were very sick in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of elderly people at this congregation, so it was really a dangerous situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they make up most of the population of a church, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really sad. In particular, there was a churchgoer named Walter Morrill. He was 78 years old, and he actually only had half a cup of coffee. Now, here's the thing about Walter. Earlier in the year, he had a quintuple bypass.
Jesus Christ.
Which is huge. So when you have coronary artery disease, which is often a disease that happens with people who have very poor eating habits their whole life, very unhealthy, overweight, it's caused by a buildup of plaque in the arteries around your heart. So a lot of people will go under a bypass, which is basically a way to help the arteries around their heart bypass that terrible gunk and work better.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear a lot of it like having a double bypass or even a triple bypass, but quintuple.
I've never heard of that, no.
Holy mother.
Jesus Christ.
Like, honestly, I'm not making fun of him. That's impressive.
That's crazy.
And he survived and did well with it,
mm-hmm.
which is great. He was 78. Good for him. That's no joke. So he had that earlier in the year, and he was still, like, recuperating from that. That's mm-hmm. a big surgery. That's an open chest surgery. And he was also known in the community to love golf, and he loved, you know, he was always out on the golf course, and so he was really hoping that he would be getting back to golfing that summer, and he was looking forward to it. He was feeling a lot better. He loved to golf in Caribou, so, you know, he was just, you know, moving along, recovering from this quintuple bypass surgery when this morning happened, and he had half a cup of coffee. He also was one of those people who was like, this tastes kind of weird. And so his wife, they lived next door, assisted him outside into their house. And it was said that Walter was like staggering, like very wow. like, whoa, kind of deal. Pretty soon after that, Walt was overcome by cramping and vomiting, which was hard already on his older body that was recuperating from this surgery. And it's, you know, exactly like you said, that one guy started vomiting projectile immediately. Ugh. That's the worst way to do it.
That's so, it's so sad because there's a lot of older people. Mm-hmm. So Walter, along with several other members of the church, hospitalized. And Walter yeah. ended up passing away early the next morning on Monday, April 28th. Mm-hmm. He was also a caretaker for the church, and he was very well liked by almost all of the congregation. Honestly, yeah. everybody knew him,
right?
Liked him, appreciated him. So this mm-hmm. was really sad. It was very shocking.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what's going on.
Right. And what the sad part is that he had died of a heart attack, which his body, he was so sick from whatever was happening that his body was too weak to even keep functioning.
Wow. I know. His body was probably under so much stress too.
Yeah. It's terrible stuff.
So, doctors at the Cary Medical Center in Caribou informed the Maine State Police that they thought that there could be something suspicious going mm-hmm. on. They'd never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
And so, police started to investigate what could have possibly happened that made all these people grow extremely ill.
Right.
A nursing student named Rose Tanguay, she was working overnight at the Poison Center. And she said that she just put the pieces together, and she was the first person to suspect that maybe it was arsenic poisoning.
Interesting.
Another nurse put it together that all of her patients had consumed the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, she's asking them, well, what did you eat? Trying to rule out food poisoning.
Right.
And it seemed like all of her patients had eaten different things. Mm. You know, someone had a piece of coffee cake, someone had a donut, someone had a cookie.
Right.
But every single patient that she had all had the same thing, and it was the coffee.
Mm. Yikes.
And so doctors reported to the Maine State Police that they felt as though they were treating poison. Ooh. They were treating poison ingestion.
Yeah.
And they let the police know, when you investigate, you need to be looking for something that was poisoned.
Right.
And then the nurse piped up and was like, I think it's the coffee.
Yeah.
Because all of my patients are saying that they had the same thing, and it was mm-hmm. the coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they all went to that church?
Yep.
It ended up being 16 people.
Wow.
Who were hospitalized for this. Yeah. A lot of them, there were actually some of them who were airlifted to a trauma center in Bangor, Maine, mm-hmm. which is about 2 hours south, because they couldn't take care of them in Caribou.
Dale Anderson, the guy who said his wife drove him home, mm-hmm. he thought it was food poisoning.
I mean, it seems similar to food poisoning exactly. initially. Yeah.
So he was trying to, you know, deal with it himself. He was not getting any better.
Yeah.
And he was brought to the Caribou Medical Center. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, no, he's... Because he waited so long to get treatment, he just thought yeah. it was food poisoning.
Right.
So him and actually five others were airlifted to the center in Bangor.
Oh, my God. How mm-hmm. scary.
It was crazy. After the nursing student said, you know, I feel as though it's arsenic. I feel like this could be arsenic poisoning.
Yeah.
Labs were taken from everything at the church. The coffee, the tap water, mm-hmm. different things from the baked goods.
Right.
Sugar, the cups, right. everything.
Yeah.
But it was going to be a couple days before they got the lab results back.
Mm-hmm.
And these patients are not getting any better. They're only getting sicker.
Yeah.
So the director of the CDC in Maine.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
She got involved.
She. Oh, even yeah, better.
I know. So I guess there's this whole thing where after 9/11, a lot of federal grants were given out to be used towards anti-bioterrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Officials in Maine had decided to use these grants to stockpile antidotes for arsenic in Portland.
Huh.
So when they first suspected it was arsenic poisoning at the hospital, mm-hmm. they had to reach out to the CDC.
Right.
And the head of the CDC was like, you know what? I'm going to go with my gut here. Mm-hmm. We're going to send you guys the antidote for arsenic.
Right.
And doctors at the hospital were like, if it's not arsenic poisoning and you give the antidote before we confirm it, it could kill these people.
Right.
It will make them so sick. But the woman, the head of the CDC, was like, no, I got to go with my gut here. Like, yeah. I really feel like it's arsenic poisoning.
Yeah.
And they gave the patients the antidote,
mm-hmm.
and they started improving.
Ugh.
Within hours, they started to improve. So that quick thinking and going with her gut saved everybody.
That's awesome.
Like a dozen people that were extremely, extremely sick.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's really incredible.
Yeah.
Trusting your gut. Wow.
If they had waited for the antidote to confirm with the test results from the lab, right. she's convinced that there would only be a couple survivors.
Yeah, like the younger people maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her. Quick thinking really can save your butt. And I didn't realize that, you know, after 9/11, this was something that happened. You know, they sent out these antidotes and the threat of bioterrorism and
Isn't
all that.
Isn't that crazy?
It's very interesting. And the fact that Maine has a CDC office, that's amazing. So obviously when, you know, they gave this antidote to all the patients and it was like, oh, we're feeling better. They were like, okay, where the hell did this come from? And like you said, they were testing everything in that church. So they even tried checking like local wells. And the reason that they did this was because it's an old practice to, use arsenic on potato plants to kill the leafy tops of potatoes in potato fields. So at this point, it was 2003. Most farmers had moved away from that practice and were using like actual, like a device that just cut the tops off of these potatoes. So they were looking into that, but they couldn't find anything leading back to like a leak of this chemical that they use for the potatoes, you know, into the coffee pot. It just didn't make sense. Now, I've been to Aroostook County where this New Sweden is. Like I said, that's where Mackenzie is from, my college roommate. I've been there a few times up visiting with her. And it's like every other, so you have like a house and then a potato field and then a house and then a potato field. They're everywhere.
Wow.
And they're big. And there's also like big potato like barns where you put all of the potatoes that you've collected from the harvest. It used to be this big thing. It was called fall harvest, and kids would get, I think it was like 3 weeks off of school each September or October so that the boys could go out and harvest the potatoes.
Oh my God.
Fun fact. I know.
That's crazy.
I know. Isn't that so weird? So much potato. They also have a lot of broccoli fields as well, which is interesting.
Weird.
I know. But they thought originally maybe it was something that was this old practice of, you know, tending to their crops. But that came out. Nothing came of that. For a few days, there were no leads at all. And they were kind of like in a dead end, and they didn't know what to do. Until 5 days later. So on May 2nd, 2003, which was, like I said, 5 days after the poisonings, there was a frantic phone call that came to the police. And troopers eventually arrived at a rundown house on Bondison Road. And inside, investigators found a man named Danny Bondison. He was dead from a single gunshot wound to the chest with an old hunting rifle laying nearby. Now, immediately the cops were like, okay, this is obviously a suicide. Mm-hmm. The angle, it all matched up with how his hand was and the angle of the wound in his chest, and that's fine. And they thought it was just a suicide. But no, with Daniel was a note. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the contents of this note... They didn't release a whole bunch of the details, and it took a while for them to actually release it, but basically, without a shadow of a doubt, it pointed at him being the reason why Walt Morrell died, and those people were poisoned with arsenic.
The note was handwritten, and it was also streaked in blood.
Ooh.
It said, or most of what we know that it said, there's mm-hmm. a lot more to this note that wasn't released.
Yeah.
But what we know that it said stated... I acted alone. One dumb, poor judgment ruins life, but I did wrong. I thought it was something I had no intent to hurt this way. Just to upset stomach like the churchgoers did me. And then the first sentence where it says I acted alone is underlined.
Right. That's so ominous.
I know.
Oh my god.
So detectives are like, okay, we found out what happened.
But like, why?
Right, because he went to the church himself.
He did. His family was actually very active in that church.
Mm-hmm.
So a little about Daniel Bahnsen. He was actually, he had been a physical education teacher for 6 years in his past, but he had actually moved on and become a nurse. So, on behalf of nurses everywhere, sorry about that one. He was raised on a potato farm, which again, very common up there, and he had been raised helping packing potatoes with his relatives. He also worked on the weekends at a convalescent home in Caribou and did seasonal jobs like picking blueberries and helping clean snow off the neighbors' roofs, which is very New England. That's like the most New England sentence ever. Ironically, Walt was one of his clients for cleaning snow.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Really sad. He was also a very well-known and liked member of this Gustav Adolf Church. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When this information came out that Daniel was connected with the poisonings,
mm-hmm.
even people that were in the hospital recovering were like, Danny? Yeah, there's no way he did this. Sorry. Yeah. Talk to someone else.
Yeah.
No way it's Danny.
Not even taking a second to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They ruled out the fact that he acted with somebody.
Mm.
I mean, they wanted to investigate to be sure. His
yeah.
note obviously said, I acted alone. Twice, and it was underlined.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be positive that nobody else had anything to do with it.
Right.
And they were able to rule out and figure out that he acted alone.
Right.
They determined that the source of the arsenic was from a chemical container that was found on Daniel's property.
Hmm.
It was determined that he had driven by himself to the church, entered the kitchen while the members of the congregation were in the worship service, and then when everyone was distracted praying, as one does in church.
Oh, very distracted. Yep.
Daniel poured, quote, an undetermined amount, but all we know that it's like a fuck ton
mm-hmm.
of arsenic into the urn of coffee that was already brewed, and then he left the building.
Okay.
He also at some point poisoned his sister Norma, who he lived with.
Ooh.
And she survived, but she was very sick with vomiting, diarrhea, and stomach cramping, which were symptoms that all the other victims of the poisonings had.
Right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. He's, like, pointing it all back to himself.
It's crazy. And like you said, Liz, at first they didn't know where the arsenic came from.
Right.
They're testing everything.
Yeah.
And then when the nurse said all of my patients had the same thing, they had coffee,
mm-hmm.
the lab was performing tests on the brewed coffee,
mm-hmm.
the coffee that wasn't yet brewed,
oh.
the tap water, the
yep.
sugar, the urn, the cups,
everything
to do with this coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And everything came up negative for arsenic except for the coffee that was already brewed in the big
mm-hmm.
urn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
When they did Walter Morrell's autopsy on April 29th, it was a Tuesday, they discovered that he had extremely large amounts of arsenic in his system.
Wow.
And they ruled his death a homicide.
Yeah.
They also found extremely high levels of arsenic in the brewed coffee.
Huh.
So they're like, okay, yeah, the nurse was right. It
right.
for sure was this brewed coffee.
And this poor man, he only had
mm-hmm.
half a cup of coffee. And you know it was probably like those Dixie cups.
Yeah, like the
use.
Styrofoam.
Yep.
Yes.
Very easy to get, cheap. Oh my god.
Yeah. They also collected blood samples from everybody else who got sick, and
mm-hmm.
they too had been poisoned by arsenic.
Right.
Wow. They thought it could have been an accidental poisoning. You know, they're trying to give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And they're also thinking, too, like, nobody here uses arsenic anymore for the potatoes. Like,
right?
How could this have happened?
Mm-hmm.
But they ruled out that it was accidental because everything else to do with the coffee was negative.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of the ingredients in the coffee that could have gotten contaminated with this arsenic fluid.
Right.
So police were like, no, it was intentional. Someone dumped the fluid into the already brewed coffee.
Right.
They were thinking that because arsenic has a very notorious bitter taste,
mm-hmm.
that maybe because the coffee that everybody drinks is so strong, it
mm-hmm.
could have hit it.
Could
hit
be.
The taste. But
yeah.
Obviously it didn't.
One of the, so the reverend who was performing the service that day, he was actually, like, volunteering to do it. He was from a different church. And he said that One thing he knew about the people of New Sweden is that they always take their coffee straight. So, like, no cream, no sugar, all that. So a lot of these people already drink bitter coffee, it sounds like. So I think it was just, like, it took a second to catch on because it was like, oh, this is already bitter. But today it's, like, extra bitter.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
Weird. A churchgoer who was interviewed after the incident, his name is Dick Ruggles. He said he lost his wife due to the health problems she faced after the poisoning as a result of the high levels of arsenic in her body.
Wow.
She wasn't counted as part of the fatality for this incident because it took weeks, if not months.
Right.
But she suffered from a lot of health issues. Dale Anderson, the guy who was almost immediately projectile vomiting in the church.
Yeah.
He said that to this day, he's still suffering physical effects.
Wow.
He stated, people keep saying, get over it, you know, put it behind you. I can't. I feel it every day. I've got neuropathy in my hands and my legs and my feet from the arsenic. My hands are partially numb right now.
Oh my God. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
So the survivors of this still have long-term physical effects.
Yeah.
And one of the survivors actually died months later as a result.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
That's insane. Wow. And you're probably wondering, why the hell did this guy... What is Daniel Bondison of New Sweden, Maine, a nurse, a physical education teacher, what does he have to do with this? Why?
Right, he went to the church. Like, why would he ever?
Like, his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about this Gustav Adolf Evangelical Lutheran Church is that it wasn't doing so well. And that's why this reverend was, like, volunteering that morning, because they didn't have a regular reverend.
Mm-hmm.
So one of their angles that the police and the investigators took was, like, okay, well, the Bondison family are known as, quote, pillars of the church, quote. And they had made tons of donations and tons of, like, homemade built things, spent a lot of money on this church. One of the things that was kind of in the works right before this happened was that, again, I'm not a church expert, so forgive me for my butchering of explaining things, but basically the church was trying to find ways to, you know, zazz it up and get people interested, and they decided to go from, like, an altar to, like, using a fancy table as their altar, and, like, it's, like, to do their communion. Like, so that was really bad. So... because I don't do church. I don't know. It's all the same. Either way, at the end of the day, Daniel's family and himself donated a really nice polished oak table to the church, and it immediately went into storage.
Oh.
And for some reason, people think that this is the last straw for him. He was like, what is up with these fuckers? Why aren't they using my table? Like, it's polished oak. Like, it's really nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So they think maybe that was the possible motive. But I mean, and in his note, he does say, just like the rest of you churchgoers. So it does point to that he's angry about the church. He did poison the coffee at the church. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. But that's a really sad reason to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And then yourself. That's so dumb.
And even if he didn't mean to kill anybody, it sounds like he just meant to make people sick, and it wasn't his intention to kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's why he ended up committing suicide, is because he felt so guilty.
Right.
But it's like, you're dumping arsenic into coffee. Like, mm-hmm. what happens if someone goes back for a second or a third or a fourth cup?
Yeah.
You can't control that. You don't even know how much arsenic you're putting in.
Right. You can't... You don't know the... non-lethal dose of arsenic, if that's a thing.
Right, you don't know how much to give so that every person gets enough of a concentration just to make their tummy upset.
Oh, so dumb. And the other thing too is that the contents of the note that they didn't, like, release encouraged the investigators to think even further that this poison was because of the communion table and the church and the donations. And the fact that the table wasn't being used.
Wow.
And it was also discovered later that just a few days before his suicide, so in between the poisonings and in between his death, Daniel went to an attorney in Caribou. His name was Peter Kelly. And according to Kelly, the contents of the suicide note were very similar to what to what Daniel had divulged to him in their meeting. So, it kind of all stacks up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I guess, too, a lot of people that went to the church were saying, if Danny did it, he didn't act alone.
Yes.
Because there was some kind of a, and this is very vague from what I read, but there's some kind of dispute going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to change some long-standing policies, and people are mad about them trying to change things. You know, tradition. We've right. always done it this way. One of the classic.
Sure. Church excuses. Just kidding.
So people were thinking, you know, it must have been Danny and a couple other people who were mad about the changes.
Right.
But they quickly realized it was just Danny.
Wow.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
So pathetic.
It is. Like, use your words. Yeah. Talk like an adult. You don't need to go and fucking poison.
He was like 43. He wasn't like a...
No, he's a grown-ass man and he's a nurse. Like, it's not yes. like he's an invalid, a mentally ill person.
Yes.
In their home that doesn't know how to process
yeah.
their emotions. Like, he's right. a nurse. He's working out in the community.
Yeah. And he's been going to this church his whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Pathetic. There's no excuse.
It's crazy to me. And the fact that he poisoned his own sister, too. Like, what'd she do? You honestly, live with her. What did she do?
Was it a test, maybe?
Oh,
could it have been?
True.
And maybe, who knows, maybe if, like, he saw that, oh, she just got sick. Okay. Maybe show these guys some of their own medicine. Who knows? That's me speculating, but...
yeah.
Either way, what he did was messed up, and there's no forgiving that.
No. He killed somebody.
Yeah. And injured so many others. And this is just in a tinky-winky town in northern Maine, so...
Yeah.
Dang.
That's crazy.
Fun fact, just to close it out, this was the 13th largest mass arsenic poisoning in U.S. history.
It's crazy. It's also still regarded as one of the largest ever poisonings, period.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Isn't that so crazy?
Yeah.
And it happened in a town of 650 people at the very tip-top of Maine.
Yeah. Go Maine. That's great. That's of all crazy. The things to have under your belt.
I know.
Man, potatoes, moose, arsenic poisoning incident. Great.
That's crazy.
Proud to be a Mainer. Yeah, so that's the new Sweden poisonings.
Yeah. Imagine if they didn't spend the federal grant money from the 9/11 anti-bioterrorism mm-hmm. thing. Imagine if they didn't spend that money on arsenic antidotes.
What if they did it on, like, cyanide? Right? It could have just been one simple,
yeah, you know? Exactly, exactly.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That stupid man. Daniel Bondison. You can look at his picture. He's kind of, he's not exactly, like, I don't know. He looks a little, like, a titch crazy.
Yeah.
Just a titch. Like, his eyes are dead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So to think that maybe nothing else was going on mentally, I don't want to bet on, because this was a pretty stupid reason to poison coffee and kill someone immediately and then eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dumb.
He could have killed everybody if they didn't get the antidote in time.
Right. Right.
Jesus.
I know. So yeah, you guys, you can tell us what you think of this case, and if you are from New Sweden or Aroostook County and know anyone who experienced this, the chances are low, but if you're out there, I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TrueCrimeNE.
All lowercase.
And you can email us at our Gmail account, which would be truecrimene@gmail.com.
You could also head over to our website, truecrimene.com. You can browse our web pages for our other cases that we have. You can learn more about us as hosts if you so choose.
Yeah.
Or if you also so choose, you can use our submission tool to communicate with us. We have an anonymous feature mm-hmm. where you don't have to give us your name or your information. We would love to hear anything you might be willing to share with us either way.
Anything. And just a quick reminder, if you guys love us, like you say you do, please leave us a review and a rate on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Yes, please.
And if you don't already follow us, you just should, because we love getting messages from you guys on Instagram and Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid. However you want to contact us, just do it.
Yes, please. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you.
Yes. Yes, we will. And with that, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye. you.